Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When was the last time you heard a sermon on Revelation? As I looked at all the sermons I've done over the 29 years, I realized that I've only preached on this book a couple times. Then I reflected on the sermons that I've heard over the years, and I'm not sure I could remember any of them. I've done Bible studies on Revelation, which usually takes weeks or months to do. So we could sit here for about a week and let me go through the text, and no, we're not going to do that. But I'm not sure how 10 minutes can summarize what John is saying in Revelation this morning, but we'll try. Lewis Brighton, in the introduction to the Concordia commentary, writes, "The book of Revelation reveals and confirms that Christ was promised and that his incarnation, death, and resurrection happened so that God's creation could be restored to its original glory and righteousness. Revelation thus points to the final meaning and the final answer to all that is revealed in the Bible." He continues to state the purpose of Revelation. He says, "The more the Christian is confident by faith, strengthened through word and sacrament, of going to heaven because of the merits of Christ, the more the Spirit moves the believer to desire to enter heaven. And the more the Christian desires the glory of God in heaven, the more the Spirit moves him to witness through this longing hope of faith." So now that we somewhat have a context to our text, have you ever wondered what heaven would be like? Have you ever thought of what it would be like to be in eternal life with God? And we say that all the time, but have you ever wondered? There's a modern song out by Mercy Me. It's called "I Can Only Imagine." And it goes, "I can only imagine what it'd be like. I can only imagine when I walk by your side, what my eyes will see when my face is before you. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you will I be still? I can only imagine standing in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? I can only imagine. Will I sing hallelujah or be able to speak at all? I can only imagine." The writer of this song was trying to put perhaps the words of what John is trying to say in our text. I can only imagine. I can only wonder what it's going to be like. But yet John gives us a glimpse of what it's going to be like. But we also see in Scripture about how Christ is the light. Isaiah 9:2, "The people walk in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." John 1:4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." John 8:12, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" So now we see in our text that John writes, "I do not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp." This was foretold even in Isaiah 60:20, as we read, "Your sun will never set again, your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light." John is trying to give us a glimpse, just a small glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. What we are all striving for as we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. What we're looking for is for that eternal life, that small glimpse. John is talking about New Jerusalem, the heavenly city that has no artificial light. No light from the sun, and the light from the moon. We see that the gates will continually be open. There is no need for security measures, no need to lock the gates or anything like that, because evil has been totally defeated. Satan has been totally defeated. It's believed that more crimes are committed in darkness, and we could say more sin is committed in darkness. But those who are entering the city, there is no darkness. Those entering the city are not impure or someone who does evil, but only those whose names are written on the Lamb's Book of Life. The next part of the text describes basically the paradise found. There's a book written, Paradise Lost. This part says paradise found. Sounds like the Garden of Eden again, with the tree of life and the river running through. That it's restored to its original state, but I would like to say that it's restored to even more than its original state. It's restored to the state before Satan and sin, restored to righteousness. One phrase that perhaps gives us the greatest of all eternal blessing is in verse 4, when John writes, "They shall see his face." Moses couldn't even see his face. He saw the backside of God, but not his face. Mankind cannot look at the face of God and live. Mankind cannot look at the face of God because of our unrighteousness. But we are put right with God through Jesus Christ. Yet until we reach eternal glory, we're still sinful and unclean. It's only then that sin no longer exists and that we can look in the face of God. Perhaps that's why we do not hear too many sermons on the book of Revelation. We have a hard enough time living here and now. We have a hard enough time trying to walk in the light that we are to walk in while we're here, to live the Christ-like life and not really think about the future and what may be beyond, to think about eternal life, to think about heaven and what it's going to be like. John does give us a glimpse this morning of what eternal life will be like for us. It gives us a glimpse of what our hope is in, living in the presence of God and his glory. That's our hope. That through our baptism and our faith in Christ, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Through Christ's glory, we can look forward to all this and more. Surrounded by his glory, what will my heart feel? Will I sing hallelujah or be able to speak at all? We can only imagine, and God helps us to do that. Thanks be to God. Amen.